On this part of Focus 580, we are doing one of those shows we call Talk to the Managers. Every once in a while here on Focus and on the Afternoon Magazine, we give you the chance to call in and talk with either our station manager, Dan Simeone, or our AM program director, Jay Pierce, and make whatever comments you have about the programs that you hear on the station. Now, here, since the guest today is Jay Pierce, our AM program director, we have to confine ourselves to AM. But anything that's on your mind, if you have something you like, something you don't like, you have questions about, well, why is it we've decided to do something a particular way? Maybe you have suggestions on how we might do things a little bit differently. We're interested in any and all of that. We can't promise we're going to make everybody happy, but we are very much interested in what you think. And this is one of those ways you can tell us. Of course, you can write, you can send emails, you can call the listener comment line. But here this morning, you can call in right on the show and talk with Jay Pierce. And we realize that we try to do these, you know, fairly regularly, either in the morning or in the afternoon. And we realized that it actually had been a long time since we'd done that here on Focus. Jay and I were just talking before we got going about the fact that it might even be that it was last year the last time he was on the show.
That's right.
So it's your opportunity to tell us what you think about the programs that we put on the station. Here in Champaign-Urbana, if you'd like to call, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us. And if it would be a long-distance call, use that number, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I think we're getting somebody lined up already. Some quick things we want to just mention at the beginning?
Well, sure. First of all, it's good to be here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Talk to you and, of course, listeners. So take advantage of the opportunity. Tomorrow we're going to begin something new on the radio station on the first Saturday of every month from 7 till 9 a.m. Dave Dickey will be hosting his breaks, and we'll be doing some interview segments during Weekend Edition live from the Market at the Square at Lincoln Square in Urbana, the Farmers Market, as an attempt to get out into the community, do a little meet and greet, say hi, let you come up, and we'll have some expert guests, Chuck Voigt, who you heard this week on AM 580, talking about herbs and vegetables in your garden and at the farmer's market. We're going to try and present some interesting programming. You can come out there and ask some questions live as opposed to calling in during these segments and just say hi. It's kind of an effort for us to get out and do more pressing of the flesh, as it were, and seeing who's listening and talk to you in person. We appreciate the opportunities to talk to you on this program and also through emails and telephone conversations and snail mail and the like. But it's nice to get out there in person. And so we hope that over the course of the summer on these first Saturdays through the first Saturday in October, you'll take the opportunity to come out, shake our hands, say hi. And, of course, there you'll have the opportunity to tell us what you think as well. I'll be out there at all of them. Dan Simeone will be out tomorrow. Ed Kieser is going to be out. Dave Dickey and many others throughout the course of the summer. So we hope it works out, and you know it's just something we're going to try.
Okay. See. Well, we have some callers to
Great.
Talk with, so let's do that. We'll start right here in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Jay, I've been wondering, why did you get rid of the 4 o'clock to 5 a.m. hour of Bob Edwards?
Oh,
I thought maybe it was the time change and somebody fell asleep and didn't flip the switch. And during Fun Drive, you didn't even mention it.
During the Fun Drive, I'm not sure we'd finally
you'd
made the decision.
Done it. April 1st, the first weekend in April, all of a sudden everything switched.
Well, because it had been done, I guess, is why we didn't talk. I was trying to think of when it happened. We did announce
well,
it before
said,
it happened.
We didn't make any changes. You know, we haven't yet. I thought, okay, he's going to hold that hour hostage for money.
No, it's
and
not.
And then it didn't happen.
You know, that's a tough one. That program from the BBC, there are a couple of things involved. One is that there are very few listeners at that time of the morning. And I know you're obviously one, and I've heard from others since we did that. That was about a decision that was 6 weeks or more in the coming, and
didn't tell us anything about it. That's for sure.
Well, we did, but we did
at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, when we're rolling out of bed. Oh.
There you go.
Pardon me.
Yeah. We probably should have done that better.
Yeah, because we'd have complained beforehand instead of after. God love it. Did you save money doing it?
No.
Well, then why did you do it?
We thought that 4 to 5 a.m. Presentation by the BBC, number one, was a good solid wrap-up of the day's news overseas, and that would be an interesting program to have on, and that 4 to 5 hour of morning edition also airs between 6 and 7 o'clock.
No, it doesn't, because Craig Cohen comes in and he edits, and you hear things from 4 to 5 you'll never hear again.
You hear about 10 minutes, perhaps, between 4 and 5 that you don't hear between 6.
Well,
and 7.
Oftentimes it's something that I wanted to hear anyway. You know.
Well, okay,
but,
I can buy that.
The BBC program you have on now feel light.
I've heard that from several people, and so that is under consideration. I can tell you that much. We're taking another look at that.
The only thing good was we keep up on the New Delhi monkey problem.
Oh boy, let me just tell you one other thing that is a factor in the decision. At the end of this month, the month of June, the BBC is turning off its shortwave transmitters to North America, Canada, and some other areas. And so it won't be as readily available as it has been, the BBC service to the Americas. So part of it was in anticipation of that, providing more access to the BBC. But, again, I'll say, I'm glad you called. Because I'm going to add your name. I was just looking over this very topic in my listener comments this morning. I compile the listener comments by subject.
Mm-hmm.
And one person really loves this 4 to 5 o'clock hour. Six of you have said you don't. And that's about all the audience measurement indicates is listening. So,
there's more people. But, once you get to work, hourly workers can't get on the phone
and
just sit and wait for a comment line. I'm on vacation or I wouldn't be able to do this right now.
No, I do appreciate your comment. And I was just saying that I know there are more than six listeners in the morning, but probably not a lot more at that hour.
You're on, so you might as well have something quality.
Exactly. And we thought we were making a move to be less repetitious during Morning Edition and to put this BBC offering on. If it's a mistake, we'll reverse it.
Oh, I sure hope so.
And
because that's when you get the piano music to start the hour, too, which is really lovely to wake up to. The other thing was, I said, if you need somebody to come flip a switch, I live three blocks from the station. I'll come in my house coat and curlers.
Oh, we have somebody here.
Okay.
I do appreciate your comment. This is great because I do want to stress right off the bat, if we've made a mistake in a programming decision, and, I'm human, and the rest of us who have input into these decisions, we're human. We can change it. Mm-hmm. We can admit it. I'm not going to sit here on my pride and say, no, I'm going to force you to listen to something you don't want. That's not what our service is all about.
Well, I'm one person calling, but I do represent two people who sit in a stupor with their coffee and love Bob.
There you go. What are you doing up so early?
We have to be at work at 6 for the
gosh.
U of I.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I'm kidding around a little bit with her, but I do take that very seriously. So that is under consideration.
All right. As I said, our guest here this morning, Jay Pierce, he's the program director for WYLL AM. We are very much interested in what you think about the shows, and you can call in and tell us.
Sometimes you never imagine from looking at audience measurement numbers and anecdotal evidence that there are that many people listening in the middle of the night when we're at our limited, 100-watt carriage area. So I never had thought that would have as much impact as it did, and I thought there would be more positive comments maybe. But if we're wrong about that, we'll do something about it.
All right.
There you go.
Well, let's continue. We have someone here on our toll-free line. This is Wellington, line number four. Hello.
Yes. I listen pretty much in the daytime, and one of the things I enjoy it is Celeste. Dog people that she has on once a month.
They're going to be on today, as a matter of fact.
Well, right. And we don't have a dog. We have had in times past, but I enjoy listening to them. But I notice that a lot of times they don't have a lot of callers. And so I was wondering if, every other month we could have the dog people on alternate months, or every third month we could have cat people on. There are a lot of people that have cats.
Hmm.
It would be interesting.
How about some cat folks?
Paraphernalia.
I'll pass that along to Celeste and Harriet.
And the other thing is, I live out here in the sticks, but we do have a Jerry's in our area, and they have that program where you can make contributions through your purchases to a charitable organization. And I inquired last year about having mine funneled to WILL, and they said that they weren't on. You weren't on their list because I guess you have to fill out some sort of form or do something or other. And I know you know, there are a number of Jerry's stores in the Champaign-Urbana area, and I think it was also, you know, perhaps, I'm not sure whether it was applicable to all the IGA stores or whether it was.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the IGA store. Okay.
Uh-huh. So you might consider looking into that.
I'll pass it along to our folks in our membership and development department and see if they're aware of that.
I think it's, whether they match like 1% of your purchases or.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we'll pass that along.
Yeah. Okay,
and I'll pass
you
along the comment about the cats, too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you. We'll go back here to Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hi. I just had to call in when I heard the woman complaining about the 4 a.m. BBC, and I was so glad to get the BBC back at 4 a.m., so I hope that these people don't convince you that you made a bad decision. I think it was a great decision.
All right, there you go.
And I also want to second the request for a program about cats.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
Take that down, too. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you. And to another Champaign person. This is line two. Hello.
Hello. This seems to be BBC morning.
Yeah.
I do actually have a couple of things, and I when I heard that earlier call, the not just the preceding one, but the earlier one, I do get this kind of the same feeling that it's BBC Light, and I like having it, and I have the feeling there are, well, I know there are a lot of people who feel, well, it's lucky that we get anything, we just have to settle. But, you know, I think there's a real demand for that in this community, and I, you know, I hope we'll be able to get a little more coverage and something beyond. I like the lady's term when she said it feels like BBC Light, because I too have had that feeling.
Do you think it's because Vicky Barker doesn't have a British accent?
Do you think that's the whole thing?
I just wondered. I don't know.
I expect that does contribute to, you know, don't have that reminder. Mm-hmm. But if that is, in fact, a feeling a great many people have, you know, they need to know that.
I did make that comment at the public radio conference it was a couple of weeks ago in May to the BBC. I talked to the BBC people there.
They may feel that people will like it if it sounds like somebody.
Well, I asked why they put somebody on that program that didn't have a British accent. And I noted that some of our listeners had that thought it sounded a little bit out of place for the BBC, and they were surprised. They made that choice almost on purpose to have somebody, because that's a special program that is directed toward an American audience and distributed only in North America through public radio.
Well, that's
stations.
What I was thinking when I said maybe they thought it would sound like, somebody from home.
My comment back was,
that was a mistake on their part. But
yeah, my comment back was that, you know, most people seem to expect the British accent from the BBC, and I don't know if it's, you know, lends more authority or
what
it does.
Well, I think a lot of us maybe began listening to those programs abroad, and, you know, you got the different accent from the different news services from the different countries, and maybe now we all are so homogenized that that's not the issue that it is for some of us. But at any rate, you know, I hope we'll get more worldwide news, and even at a different hour would be maybe too much to expect. But what I'm wondering is about Juan Williams, and I don't think he's ever been on this station, has he?
No, well,
I mean, you
a couple of times during special occasions we've carried. Yeah, he's the host of Talk of the Nation, which is a national talk program.
I mean, that's on every day.
Yeah.
And I often listen to it, but I was not aware that it had ever been on here.
No.
And I wondered if it had ever been considered, or is it a financial thing? And if it is, you know, how much would it take to get it on?
Well, it's considered, but we do the afternoon magazine during the time when that is on. The
would
afternoon
you have
magazine.
To carry the entire show?
No, you could carry an hour or 2 hours.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you have the time that Fresh Air is on.
Yeah, that would be tape delaying it.
But I mean,
you wouldn't have the live call in.
A little bit facetious, and that I think that show is really, we have our own local show that covers that same material, and it's a better show as far as I'm concerned.
Well, let me write that down. It would cost a lot less than Fresh Air does. tell you that much. As far as the money goes,
One Williams does.
Yeah, it costs about a quarter of what, or about a third.
I find it interesting to hear what people have to say around the country.
Well, that's an interesting comment. And that's one that I hadn't really heard before. We try to, we basically on our programs have pretty much the same guests that you'll find in a lot of cases on the national programs. One of the things that we try for, and I think David would agree, is we try to make the program more relevant to our region and also give you access as opposed to being up against the whole country on an 800 number. We try to give you access to the guests. You're just up against our regional audience here.
I don't see that they would be in competition.
No, it might be an interesting compliment. So
that's what I find interesting, and I am really, and I think I do have some company, and this fresh air has just gotten, it's past its prime or whatever.
Yeah. We got a number of...
that I really lose interest in that show.
We got another comment, a number of comments when I was on the Afternoon Magazine a few weeks ago doing this program, and several people were calling it stale air, and I passed that along to the public radio.
You tell Terry that?
No, I didn't tell Terry. I told her producer.
Well, maybe the best way to pass that message along is say we don't want your show anymore.
Yeah, well... It has listeners, though. It has a lot of listeners. So,
I don't doubt that, but there are other things. It's been on for so many years, and it's getting so tired and so repetitious. And now with the phone interviews that David and Celeste do, very often we've already heard it.
Yeah. I'll throw that idea in, and, we're always considering different things.
Thank you.
There are a couple of programs that I've considered, like the Todd Munt Show is one that would be tape delayable more readily. Than perhaps Talk of the Nation, and I thought that might fit in someplace and be a compliment with, as you said, a more national perspective.
Yeah, and I guess we could still keep our own local shows, and in those times maybe.
If we could stretch the day to 26 hours, all the problems would be solved. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you. Let's go next to line three, and that is Urbana. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. Thanks for setting up the show. I had a more general question in reference to, I guess, National Public Radio and how you guys in different markets set up your priorities. I guess the general question really is who is the public in National Public Radio? And the secondary question is really how the different markets, but in particular this market here, decides who the priority market is. An example is, obviously you have agricultural news here because that's one of the services you provide to this particular market. A contrasting would be, say, in Miami. I know that I've been in Miami or in Atlanta or elsewhere where I've listened to the public radio stations, and they cater to very specific audiences down there. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the question is, what percentage of it is all of the public, and what percentage is really guided by the public that actively listens, participates in the radio, and contributes?
Well, I would say that at this radio station, and I have only worked at one other public radio station in my career, but I know of other stations and am a member of the Public Radio Program Directors Association, and so I learn about how other stations do things. First of all, let me just say that every radio station that's considered a public radio station is a local radio station first, licensed to a community. We're licensed to Urbana. And then you have a choice of programs that you can offer. You can offer locally produced programs like Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, Sidetrack, Keeping the Faith, and others that we do in our news component. You can choose from programs distributed by National Public Radio, Public Radio International, and then any number of independent producers. So what you hear on our station is a big mix of things. We also concentrate locally on weather and agriculture, as you said. So basically what you do is you try to put together a service that you think and that the best audience measurement, anecdotal information, surveys, focus groups, and the like, tell you that will best serve your particular regional audience. So that'll change. Now, there are a lot of stations, or change geographically, depending on where you go. There are a lot of stations that just strip the NPR. In other words, they run the NPR programs. You'll hear Morning Edition with very little local component to it. You'll hear the Diane Rehm Show, Todd Muntz, Talk of the Nation, and then All Things Considered, and then they'll do some other things maybe in the evening.
Right.
And run BBC overnight. And then on the weekends, you'll hear This American Life, Car Talk, you know, this and that.
Right.
We try to have a mixture that includes what you would consider to be the staples of public radio, This American Life, which is actually a PRI. It's not even an NPR show. And Prairie Home Companion, we try to have, you know, the Car Talk, Sound Money, we think is a good program.
Mm-hmm.
We mix in some PBS programs like the Lehrer News Hour and Wall Street Week and Washington
right.
Week in Review. We have local programs that we do. We have some others, you know, of course, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Fresh Air from NPR. And then from the CBC, we run As It Happens. We run the BBC. The mixture that we try to get to.
So fundamentally, it's up to the individual stations.
Yeah, it is. The mixture
figure out what their market's looking for.
Right, exactly. Right. The mixture we try to get to is something that will offer things, not necessarily to garner the largest audience. We're not in the ratings game to get the biggest audience to deliver to advertisers. The difference between public radio and commercial radio programming is that in commercial radio, when you come in at the, and I've done both, when you come in the morning, your job, your sole job is to generate as much audience as you can so that you can sell as many ads as you can and so that you make your owner as much money as possible. That's it, the shareholders. Here, it's to put on the best, most relevant, and useful programming service for your listeners. And
right, but your listeners also determine, I mean, they're also your audience or your business, you know, or your owner, too.
Exactly.
You have to satisfy them.
Exactly.
Like in Miami, for example, it's a very large Jewish community which supports public radio, et cetera. So obviously they have to cater to that relevant audience for them.
Right.
Their other market segments.
Right.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I had wondered, and I was trying to find a balance. I mean, I know that in some stations, for example, we hear a lot more Hispanic news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's wonderful, and this community is very pro. You can see it with, you know, WILL, the TV station as well, that they love the British stuff.
Yeah.
And we hear Canadian news, and we hear, you know, and that's really nice to get that Anglo perspective, you know, but it'd also be nice to hear some other, I mean, I would love to hear what's going on. I don't know if there is a counterpart to NPR or the CBC in Mexico that's done in English, but that would be wonderful to hear considering how that country and, you know, and our relationship with Latin American countries is going to impact this country in the future. That would be a wonderful perspective as well if it were available. I just want to make one other comment. A few weeks ago, I remember hearing, or maybe it was months ago, I remember hearing somebody criticize, it was one of these shows, and somebody criticizing Keeping the Faith, saying it had absolutely no place on NPR. And I think in this same vein, keeping in mind the audience here, but no doubt the overwhelming majority of your audience is of a Christian background, and I think to donate one measly hour a week to that discussion is more than fair and even under-appropriate, if that's a word, to, you know, to meet those audience needs. Well, anyway, you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you, and I'll pass that along. It's you know, you get into some very interesting areas. It's a tricky business to try to please a lot of people, and we do have, you know, a core audience that we want to satisfy with enough of what they're looking for, but we also want to serve others who are not served by other stations in the market.
I think that's my point exactly about, you know, having a Latin American perspective.
Yeah. The only program we have right now is Latino USA, which is on at 10:30 Saturday nights.
Yeah.
It's a half hour. And
yeah,
sometimes we run some of their specials.
Yeah, it'd be nice if some of that could be could be mixed into the mainstream of time, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, even just a tidbit here and there.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a really relevant perspective for Americans in general.
But yeah, it really is. I mean, considering that the Hispanic population increased in the latest census dramatically, I think a lot more attention is going to be paid.
Oh, yeah, and it's increased here in Champaign.
Yeah.
Urbana, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Anyway, thanks good. A lot. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks. Okay. Thanks for the
we
call.
We are already at the midpoint of this part of Focus, and our guest is Jay Pierce. He's our program director for WILL-AM. And it's been a while since we've done this. We do, on a fairly regular basis, try to do these shows, either with Jay or with Dan, our station manager, to give you the opportunity to call in and tell us what you think of the programs. Or maybe if we've done something and we made some change and you want to say, why did you do that?
What's the matter with
what's
you?
What's the matter with you? We actually do have reasons for doing things. And
it's not just a dartboard.
We do try to think carefully, and sometimes yeah. we do things, and afterwards we think, well, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do.
We're human.
So we're certainly interested in what you think, and we have a number of callers here, and we'll try to get in as many as we can. Going back to it here, and caller is in Belgium, line number 4. Hello.
Yes. How are you doing today?
Good.
I'm going to praise you thoroughly. I've traveled recently, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no place that puts on public radio better than WILL. I went to California in the San Francisco area, and they had a poor substitute, and I went to several places in Northern California, and they didn't exist. And I've traveled to the East Coast, and they just don't do it. They just don't have the kind of public radio that I come to enjoy at WILL. Another thing I've noticed today, I was listening to you folks on the internet. You're delayed quite a bit, aren't you? It's very difficult to keep track of what you're saying now and what's coming on the internet, which is several minutes behind.
It's a good point, yeah.
I think it's something between 30 seconds and a minute. I think maybe about 30, 40, because I actually sat one day and timed it out.
Probably also depends upon what kind of dial-up line you're using and how
busy the traffic is on that day. And,
yeah, here on our T1 line, our T3 lines or whatever we have, our high-speed, you know, viaduct here on campus, it's even like 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, my line is not nearly as nice as that. So thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And certainly great comments.
To Champaign for another caller here, line 1. Hello.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to encourage you to continue on with some of what I find your most interesting programming that, unfortunately, it's sort of on in the ghetto time of radio, you know, in the evenings, especially weekend evenings, things like alternative radio and The Nation magazine. Those, I think, are great programs. And Michael Tom's show, which I'm forgetting the
New Dimensions.
New Dimensions, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff I think is just great, and I wish it were on at you know, more listener-friendly times.
All right. Well, yeah, those are there in the evenings, and I, you know, some of them, like Radio Nation, I guess, is always at low power in the evening. The internet helps some of that, but we do have that problem of lowering our power in the evening, and boy, I wish we could get around that, but there just doesn't seem to be anything easy we can do. But I'll put your comments down on those, in those categories, on those programs. We do get some favorable comments on those programs from time
to time. Yeah, I just think they deserve a wider audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, even if you're at a higher power, I mean, that's not a time when
not the best
many
time.
People are listening to the radio. Yeah. And what, 5% of
listenership
Americans
is
listen to radio after 6 down. O'clock at night, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, good. Well, I'll put those in. That's another one of those balancing things, you know.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. There are probably not that many people who listen to radio after noon.
Well, yeah, it comes back up in the afternoon, but obviously in the morning is the big time, and then as people are the drive time in the afternoon, it comes up again, and then Saturday and Sunday mornings are big times. But, yeah, you're right. You know, it's not like the old days when people would rush home and turn the radio on and sit there all evening. We got this gadget called television, and we've got the internet and a lot of other things diverting attention these days. And, you know, gosh, I think some people still even read books.
I know some people who read books.
So
we believe in them.
Yeah, you read, what, about 15 a week?
Sometimes only more about 8 or 9.
Eight or nine.
Back to another Urbana person here, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about fresh air and that I still find it very fresh, but I work during the day and don't get to listen all the time, so I can't compare it because I only get to listen sometimes to the morning AM 580 and sometimes to the afternoon. But I look forward to it a lot and really enjoy the selections that she puts on, and I wanted to comment on what a wonderful job you do on Sundays. I turn on the radio at 9:30 and listen until at least 4 o'clock usually and enjoy all of the selections that you have.
Well, thank you.
Yes, so just another voice to offset the other fresh air voice.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
I've, you know, kind of, fresh air is one of the, it's, next to Car Talk, it's the most expensive, well, next to Morning Edition and All Things Considered in the news package, which cost $250,000 a year. You know, Car Talk is like $24,000 a year. It's the most expensive single program that we buy from NPR. And then comes Fresh Air, which is like in the mid-teens somewhere. We haven't got the new prices, you know, for FY 2002 yet, but it's a very expensive program for us to buy. And so I need to hear, you know, good comments sometimes so that we know. You know, it's not like a popularity contest, but you want to make sure, because we're getting almost half our money from listeners, that it's something that's useful to enough listeners that we're making a wise investment in it. And you always have to look at, well, what could we do with that money that might be a better service, or is this the best possible thing we can be doing, which is what we try for all the time, is to do the best possible thing we can with the money to make the wisest investment. There are a lot of things that we could be doing that would cost a lot less than what we do. But would they be the best thing to do? And, you know, that's the question. It's a big question that we ask all the time, believe me.
All right.
And this is budget time, by the way. I'm in the middle of putting together next year's budget, so these things are. This is a great time to do this.
Oh, yes. We only have another month before the end of our fiscal year.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be talking about that sometime soon.
Yeah.
We go back to Wellington again, line number three.
I apologize for calling again, but I kind of have a follow-up on my original call about having cats during the dog slot perhaps sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I think something, you know, that would be really good, and because a lot more people are rabid about their pets than necessarily we are, but, you know, if you had someone on from the vet science school maybe once a month just to talk about general pet care, kind of like you have the doctors on, might be of value.
We, you know, we have done some of that on Focus.
And even if you couldn't, even if you couldn't have them on monthly, you know, maybe, you know, you could have them on every 3 months or something, kind of like you do, Ed.
Yeah, it probably would be a good thing to try to have, again, as a regular fixture, part of the rotation, because I'm sure that you're right, that as we do have people who would want to ask questions about their own health, there would be folks who would want to ask about the health of their pets. And the show that Celeste does in the afternoon with Jim and Carol is a little bit different. The orientation. I mean, the two of them, I don't want to take anything away from them. They know an awful lot about dogs, but they're not veterinarians. So I'm sure that there are some medical questions that they just feel like they couldn't do. So, yeah, it's probably a good thing for us to think about. So
follow-up comment, I just like to say that you do listen to the comments because you do put Ed on with weather phenomena, like I suggested, a few times a year, which is all very good, and I think people really enjoy that too. And also, regarding fresh air, I like fresh air, but I have noticed in the last 2 or 3 years that there's probably been maybe about 10 times that she's had people on that have overlapped with either Celeste or with Focus, you know, and you're basically hearing the same set interview because I presume these people interview and they kind of have the same kind of general thing that they discuss every time. So there, I notice repetition now that I didn't in the past, but I don't know as it's... I just turn it off on those days.
Yeah. Well, we don't know who they're going to have in advance.
You know, overwhelming at this point.
Yeah, we don't know who Fresh Air is booking in advance.
And they don't know who you're booking.
And they don't know who we're booking, so sometimes it just happens. I like it when we have the guest first.
I seem to think that I think you do, actually. I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks.
To more people.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Let's go to Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I'll add a comment about fresh air quickly, too, before I go on to my other thing. I've always liked fresh air a lot, too, but it does seem to me in recent years that it's gotten a lot more sort of celebrity oriented. Mm-hmm. And also, I have to almost completely turn it off during the, like, award show season, during the Academy Awards, because they're just cruel. I mean, they're just cruel about people and the movies, and they just pick apart the shows and what people wore. I mean, if I wanted to read something, you know, hear something like that, you could pick up bad magazines at the supermarket. So I don't know if it's worth the same, if it has the same value that it used to, especially if there are other programs that are covering it. And I would rather hear guests interviewed on Focus 580 and on Celeste's program in the afternoon than on Fresh Air, because I think they're better interviewers. As far as the dogs and cats go, please don't diminish the number of the monthly dog people on Celeste's show. By all means, add cats, but don't cut it back to every other month with the dogs. People might not call in because they're listening in rapture. It's such a great show.
They are kind of like the click and clack of dogs.
Yes, yes.
They have a good chemistry together.
It's a wonderful show. Yeah. And I really like Keeping the Faith, too. I think it's a great show. It's a very thoughtful show. And it's a local show, obviously, you know that, but it's a great show.
I'll pass along your comments to Steve. Yeah.
And more news on the Americas. I think that's really, really important, too. Now, here's my main comment, and I'll try to go fast. Okay. It's about Alastair Cook. I think he's a venerated institution and very mesmerizing with his voice and accent and his style of speaking. But he actually says a lot of inaccurate things, and he presents his program as if it is news, but it's actually his very elitist commentary and opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I listened to it for a long time, sort of just, you know, in a tradition kind of thing. He was, you know, the host of Masterpiece Theater, and then just sort of being used to listen to him. But I think I want to urge people to reconsider his program. I mean, even my daughter came to me recently and said, you know, what's up with that Alastair Cook person? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
it's his viewpoint. It's his letter.
Yeah, but he doesn't present it like this is my viewpoint. I mean, you have other people on the station that present things like viewpoint, and I might not agree with them, but I respect that they're presenting his viewpoint. He says his, like, he's reporting on a news issue.
Yeah, it's kind of like Paul Harvey on the commercial radio side. He does a daily news program that a lot of people consider to be all news, and it's not. A lot of it is his slant, his view, his analysis. Maybe, okay, well, thanks for that. The comment, maybe that's something we ought to point out more.
Yeah, maybe you could introduce it a little bit more as this is his opinion. This is not accurate news.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks very much. That.
All right, thank you.
Right, thank you. We will continue. Line two is next. This is also Urbana.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, I want to get on the What Do You Know quiz.
You can call Saturday morning between 10 and noon.
No, I know.
1-800-WALK. Now, what?
Whack now
whack
or
now.
Why
no. And you can do it.
No. The point was, you don't carry it live.
Right, we don't. We don't.
I thought you used to carry it live, but...
No, we never did.
No, I don't think
because
we
did. Because it's at the same time as Sound Money, which has the same kind of deal. I think the decision was that, you know, there was very strong support for that show. We'd been carrying it at time forever. We wanted to maintain the call-in component on that show. And I think for that was the reason, because we would have had to take Sound Money. We would have had to put it
someplace else.
Yeah,
the financial block is kind of set there.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Right, I didn't realize there was another live call-in at that time.
Yeah.
You live in Urbana?
Yes.
Okay. You got a good FM antenna?
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, you can hear the show live on WGLT out of Normal. Ooh, I didn't say that.
I can't believe you said
that. Can you believe I said that?
You're sending me off to another station?
Can you believe
that
the public
shows
service
you the
that
kind
we
of
do?
People we are.
It's the kind of guy I am. We want you to be served with it. They run it live from 10 to noon. It's at 89.1, I think, FM. I believe that's there. And you can hear it here kind of, sort of, if you have a good antenna.
All right.
All right.
Thanks so much.
It's the best I can do for
you. That's perfect.
All right.
Bye now.
Yeah.
Thank you.